Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. If you want to join in the conversation, just dial in 858-769-4936 and press 1. And you'll be on the air around the world. This is the host, Paulette Young. We come on every Monday at 8 p.m. with another hot topic. Tonight we'll be talking about health issues, senior citizens face on a regular basis. And there needs to be more education to the seniors in this area because of the things that are health-related that can be avoided. Hi, Selena. How are you?
Fabulous, and how are you?
Good. We have Selena Lindsay also, who comes on the show on a regular basis as a guest, and she's have a vast amount of information that she gives every Monday also. Anyway, why do some seniors fall all the time and others never fall? Why are some senior citizens very flexible and others barely can move? Can one slow the aging process down? If so, how? What must a senior citizen do to slow the aging process down? We're on every Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And as I said before, just call 858-769-4936 and press 1. There are health issues that are unique to senior citizens. So if you want to, you can listen or you can just join in the conversation. But you have to press that 1 in order to for the audience to hear you. Hi, what do you want to talk about first? There's so many issues when it comes to senior citizens. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. I said, what would you like to talk about first when it comes to senior citizens?
Well, I guess the overall aging process is something that we all must do. I mean, I have a lot of friends that don't think they're ever going to age. Some of the sisters are still wearing miniskirts, but it does come around and things change as you begin to age. And some of those problems, because number one, the largest society of old people on the planet, we're here right now. And this is starting to impact everything from the X generation to the millenniums. For those that don't know who that is, the millenniums came along somewhere between 1981 and up, and those other guys were a little bit before that. that kind of sets things all up to where all of the ones before that are basically this generation of, and a very, very large generation that came from Woodstock, LSD, marijuana, everything, loud music. And to me, all of these things prior contribute to these problems along with lack of knowledge, because constantly, I don't care who you are, we gain knowledge. And some of the old problems that we used to have are now dealt with in a different way. And for instance, there was a time when you had a bad knee, you just had a bad knee and went to the grave with it. You know, now there are things that they can do for that to help you have a more productive life. And some of these things, to start with, that is the answer for yourself to create a more productive life. That just because you get over the hill and you have snow on the mountain, which is your head, you get gray-headed, it doesn't mean it's all over with. And not everyone is in the condition that they need to be, let's say, in a senior citizen facility.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is even insurance has changed, because the old way of thinking was after you're 70, you were supposed to die. Well, guess what? Our dear Mr. Herbert W. Bush was 94. So they're not dying anymore. And unfortunately,
all of our modern medicines and the research, research has shown that some of the health issues that senior citizens face can be delayed or slowed down. The aging process, seniors will need to make changes in their life, in their lifestyle. A senior citizen, they can't afford to not exercise. If they do not exercise, they'll fall more, lose their balance, and can develop things like diabetes, high blood pressure, become depressed, have mood swings. In fact, there was a study done at UCLA, and loneliness was at the top as being a health issue for seniors. So what can they do about it? They can exercise. We now have we've had them for a long time at most local malls. They have exercise programs for walking, senior centers. Some of your senior centers, or all of them, have exercise programs. Some of your local churches have that, programs for the seniors to get them up and moving. And how a senior citizen eats. There's a lot of education. Most of your senior centers talk about education and the importance of eating. Avoid, you know, as we've said in the past, empty calories like candy and other sweets. So eating, sleeping, physical activity help senior citizens to slow down the aging process. If you want to age at a fast rate, then sit and do nothing. Because you will, we already know that leads to early dementia, because if your body's not moving, a lot of things are happening to the body with no movement. So you can't afford now. A lot of your insurance have what they call that, senior sneakers or something like that, where they don't even have to pay for you know, the program that they have. It's set up for the senior citizens. I know LA Fitness have it where they do chair exercises. So if they can't even, say they can't walk and they're not walking well or the balance is way off, they'll start them off in a class like that, which is really nice. And the results of that have been great. Most of those that attend that say they feel better, they move better. There's an improvement in balance, everything. So we can't afford, and I say they can't afford not to eat either. You can't go down to zero calories or the one meal a day, because that means that little membrane in your brain, there's nothing going across it properly. If you're not putting empty calories, you're not getting anything. And that's going to hurt you. But I was surprised to see that I read one article that talked about loneliness, about the staying up depressed, and they found that suicide is higher in aging white men than in adolescents. I didn't know that either. There was one study done at UCLA in the past, and it said loneliness was at the top with obesity and heart disease. So you can't afford not to do anything. And he said some of the solution was joining a church and becoming a part of the community while being relieved of loneliness, because if you join something, you're not going to be, those feelings of loneliness isn't going to be there at a high degree. Now, I was surprised. I've never done Tai Chi, but they were saying that's a form of exercise. But they said it's better than stretching or conventional exercise. It improves your balance, prevents falls in older adults. So if you want to know more about Tai Chi, Google it, or have a young person look it up for you, because that is a thing that they are using with the older generation or the senior citizens. So it's important to, you got to connect. You can't afford to not be connected to people. Like for you, Selena, you're connected to quite a few people. me as well. But it helps the overall, not just the physical part, but the mental part too. And that
well,
is important.
A lot of what I noticed, as I grew up and got old, was the older ones that were around me and some of my earlier years were actually working in senior citizens facilities. And it was one of the worst things to constantly see that there were people there that no family came to visit them. They never had a visitor. They never left. They never went anywhere. And these are important things for all of us to think about, with your family members, to be active with them and participate, because the technicality is the lesson learned is called that we all need each other and that we were not designed to be islands. And you have to have that connection if you want to have long life and longevity.
That biblical saying, not meant to be alone.
Uh-huh.
So you say to Eve.
And that's one of the reasons that, the statistics are high with those that seemingly they reach the top and they have nothing because they have no one. Whenever you're talking to a person is about to jump off the bridge, that's the way they feel. They feel like they're an island. They're all by themselves and that nobody cares about them. It's important that we stay connected. So one of the things, like I said, I learned along the way was to stay busy, and especially when you help others, it helps you not so much to have a workshop, as grandmother used to say, a devil's workshop, when you're thinking about others and how you can be of service. And when you're doing those things, it has things on your calendar that it ensures, just like having a dog, a pet is one of the other good things to have for those of you that can have a pet, because it's a proven science that they have lower blood pressures and they tend to live longer. And you tend to do things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. If you have a hard time walking, if you have to get up and go walk your dog at least once or twice a day, you're moving about. And also the fact that you have to tend to that animal, you have to take care of it. You have to feed it, clean it, do something instead of just sitting there staring at a wall. And so all those things are a big help and another way to become reconnected. These were lessons along my way, as I said, that I also, because of the many, many people and the different things, it keeps me involved. And sometimes people say, why wouldn't you do it? Why don't you just go in the corner and sit down? Well, believe it or not, I now have a new answer. It's because it lets me live. When you're getting something out of it, you're getting fed out of it. It not only lets me live, it teaches me how to live consistently. Sometimes there are some things that you feel that you'd rather not, but you get that one phone call and you feel that, God has provided you with a way that you can't do a lot, but you can help. It helps you to get up and get moving and go do something. And it is an accomplishment when you get it done. Because it's a lot better than a lot of other people that I know. They usually start with, well, I don't have to go to work anymore, so I'm just going to stay in the bed till 10 o'clock. And they're walking around with pajamas on at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. They just keep doing that. Exactly. Exactly.
That society doesn't deal with is substance abuse. Like their medication, they take legal and illegal drugs, or they may have a alcohol problem. Those are things because they're a senior and they've been here long enough. There's a tendency to think that not my grandma, not my grandpa, not my old uncle, and then the medical people, doctors sometimes fail to act about different habits that may be there. That's going to lead to their, not being here long, because certain things are, it's just stereotype. They don't think a senior citizen, especially if that's not possible. You remember
well,
all the articles?
The police department.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
And even the police department has become aware of a new criminal, which is grandma and grandpa, because they, you know, they call them, that run between here and Mexico, a donkey. You know, meaning that, you know, some nice person comes along and they'll tell you, well, you know, we'll upgrade your car and you don't have to worry about fixing it, and just want you to drive this car from, you know, here to Tijuana, park it, and then drive it back. And these are donkeys because they know that if you get stopped or the police department gets you, you know, how long are they going to put grandma away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they call them donkeys.
And then remember when we dealt with the HIV and AIDS, you know, in some of these rest homes and that, because, again, they stereotyped the ones over 50. They're not sexually active. But what they found in research is that the senior citizens, a lot of them are sexually active. They don't put on condoms because you ain't got to worry about being pregnant. But then they forget about there's diseases out there that you can catch. And and they don't do a lot of research on the older people. Because I have a friend that always did the research trial. She said now that she's over 65, they don't call her. they're leaving that whole group out. They're not even represented anymore, you know, for like for prevention and things like that. And they found between like 15% of United States AIDS occur in seniors over 50. And, you know, not to deal with that or to, you know, have some education in those areas, it just doesn't exist. And it's a fact that their immune system weakens with age. And then sometimes it's confused with, especially if they have HIV, say they're tired or weight loss or they have dementia, skin rashes, or swollen lymph nodes. That's part of the aging process. So they may not even run a test, you know, like a simple HIV test. Because even to this day, this is 2018, that is not a routine test. Say you're 80, that would not be a routine test for an 80-year-old, because an 80-year-old woman or man, they possibly, they're not having sex. I mean, it's such a misnomer. Such a misrepresentation. Like the medical community need to be educated. And they need to have maybe more surveys so it can, you know, see the numbers. Well, why do they think, why would 15% of those over 50 come down with AIDS or HIV positive? You know, why is that? Because they're sitting there and the virus just caught them from the air? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous that enough information is not given out the way it needs to be, addressing these issues. And they can have, you know, ongoing information like right there at the senior center. Because why is one out of four people living with HIV 50 years old and above? That should tell people something. And that's according to Center of Disease Control. That's their statistic. That's a high number. So, and then we wonder why we have these health issues in the older people. A lot of it, they're not informed. And they assume they're not sexually active, yet they've had reports. It stayed in the news, I think, in 2016. This is 2018. It's disappeared. It's not like, not much of a conversation. Most people think HIV's gone away. And I was watching Dr. Oz and the man that, I think he's one of the oldest one living with HIV. And he's had it for 35 years, but he's able to keep his viral count down, you know, the HIV count down, and he does his medicines like he's supposed to. But if you're not doing those things, then no, your life expectancy ain't gonna be nobody 35 years. Because you have to follow through with, you know, what's healthy. And then he mentioned about that Truvadol and, you know, the new thing that they came out with. So a person that doesn't have HIV and they don't want to get it, they take that medicine. And this, and they've had a 90% success rate. But he didn't mention the other side of it is you have to take the medicine and do all the precautions so that you don't come down with HIV. And the one that's taking the medicine is a person that don't have HIV. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, to me, it's kind of the adversity of the same thing that happened when they came up with birth control. Sometimes adverse information creates that, you know, because, you know, a lot of people think just because they take birth control, it's like they got a license to go and have sex, and they don't realize that's, you know, that's not what birth control was designed to do, and that you still need to keep it to yourself.
Right. And then the other thing is the other partner has to keep his viral load down. Only way he keeps that down, he has to be taking his or her medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a medicine thing. It's a trust issue, whether they're going to do these things or not. Yes, it's 90% if every A, B, C, D, E, F, G, every, all that's done right. I've just, in my lifetime, I've never seen sexually transmitted disease using, you know, people wanting to engage in sex with a sexually transmitted disease. I just haven't seen it before. It wasn't done with syphilis, gonorrhea, none of those. They didn't even try and find a way that, yeah, it's true that they can, you know, they have a cure for a lot of things, but HIV is no cure. I don't know what people feel about, you don't have it, but I want to have sex with someone that does have it, provided their viral load is down. How do you know it's down when you're having sex? How do you know? Unless they were tested again. And that's still based on you taking the medicine. And it's based on a lot of trust. You're talking about some of the people practice risky behavior. I can guarantee, I bet you that ain't going to work. Because if
That's another huge component, behaviors, because everybody is not sexually activated the same way. So you're going to tell me somebody that's very hyper about it is going to take the time to do this, going to go out and do what he wants to do. And it's one of the ways that these things spread.
You're saying that whoever you're engaging with, that they're responsible human beings. You're
exactly
trusting you're going to be responsible. Other than that, you're coming down with that one.
There you go.
Guaranteed. You're trusting, and you're saying all of these people are trustworthy, right? I don't think so. You're taking a huge risk. But they have
shown.
Well,
that's the very reason how they got into what they're into, too, being trusting.
I look at the numbers that you're pulling from. It's not like a million people, you know, or something like that. How high are the numbers, you know? In what pool of numbers are we talking about? And you have to look at that, too. 90% of 100 people or 90% of 200,000 people? No, there ain't going to be no 200,000. The pool that they're pulling from is low. It's not high. But with the ones they have done, that's where they're coming up with the 90%. But the other 10%, well, just pray you're not part of the 10%. Then some don't want to do it, period. So you have pros and cons especially among the Black Americans, they don't want, there's that percentage that say no, and that percentage is high. I think it was like 71% said no. No one takes the medicine. You're trusting that the one that doesn't have it is going to take the medicine. And you're trusting the one that has it has the low, what they call the low viral load or low count of HIV in their system. There just need to be more education. I know various physicians and health providers, they can choose whether they want to give you the medicine or not based on your behavior, you know, when they ask you different information. And they may not want to give it to you because in their interview with you, you show a reckless behavior pattern. So, but the medicine has proven to work, provided it works better if they take medicine all the time, 365 days out of the year. The other person's viral load is low, where it can't be detected. They still got the virus in them, but they manage to keep it down through, you know, the medication, and they use a condom. So it's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
And the medicine, get this, is like $20,000 a month. So who has $20,000
a month? That's a hint of business, right?
Yeah. So, and you know, and, but you're talking about seniors. Is a senior going to do all that? I doubt it. You will have.
What about all of the rest that can afford $20,000?
Oh, they just get the disease. You have to have either money or I'm not sure if all the I know all the insurance companies are not so quick to want to pay for all that. And then anyway, what are you doing? Are we trying to keep the amount of people from getting HIV? By practicing, it's just, I don't know, to me, there's so many pros and cons, so many things that have not been worked out, that even though you have those that it have worked out for, but we're going to ignore the ones that it didn't work out for. I don't know. And then what about young people? Are you telling them to go ahead and take medicine? They don't. Some of them do not have the virus, and that the medicine is for the ones with that don't have the virus. It's not, and the other medicine is for the ones that has the virus, and they keep the medicine is to keep the viral load down. There's a man, I can't say his name, and you probably know him too. He had HIV for 25 years. He looked no different than the man that was on Oz. So he didn't die from the HIV itself, and his viral load was always down. With all the kind of treatments, how they have to treat you, he came down with cancer, taking all the medicine. And other parts of his body broke down from the medicine. So it wasn't detectable, but he still died because there's so much. Some of these medicines haven't been around forever, and they're always trying something new. So, but he died. He was about 52 when he died. He didn't look sick. But he, you know, he got, you know, he came down with it as a, you know, in his 30s. Well, but now he's, you know, he's gone. So some have privileged the best of medicine and others do not. And and they need to talk more on the young people, because a lot of them don't understand the importance of taking the medicine. And they die soon because they're not doing the right thing. But the physicians need to recognize that senior citizens are sexually active. They are not just sitting there the way people think. And there needs to be massive education. I mean, massive education. If anyone is listening and you want to speak, all you do is press 1. You can join in the conversation at any time.
Yeah, how you doing, Paula? This is Wayne.
Oh, hi, Wayne. Have you, we're talking about
I heard you.
Health senior citizens.
I've been listening to you.
Oh, okay. Did you want to comment at all?
Yeah, well, that's deep. I see people that's been out there and figure they can mess with anybody and then come to find out they got it. Like you say, it's so very important because the young people think that they can do that and it might not happen to them, but it's been happening to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Baltimore where it's really bad at. Well, it's bad everywhere now. It's bad everywhere now, right?
It's true that in some cities, it's more prevalent than others.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with what you just said. You just let everyone know that it's really high in Baltimore.
Yeah.
There just needs to be more education. It's like we're not giving there just needs to be more education so there's a better understanding of what's happening. Yes, some are living if they do the right thing. If they don't do the right thing, they are not living long.
That's
you
right. All it takes is a mistake. That's all it takes. But I agree with you with the education. We do have to educate a lot of our young people, you know. We really do. Because everything that looks good, you don't know if something looking good got an infection, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But back to the senior citizens, we have to educate our senior citizens.
Okay.
And our physicians need to be asking more questions. And
right.
They have changed. A lot of places have changed where they ask the person, are you sexually active? There was a time they didn't even ask that. If you were over 50, they didn't ask it. Now they do.
Yeah, they do.
They need to talk to the 70-year-olds, the 80-year-olds, because they are sexually active. And they are HIV.
I hear you.
But again, if anyone wants to call in, it's 858-769-4936. And if you want us to hear you, all you have to do is press. If you want to talk, your conversation goes all over the globe, all over Europe, Asia, India, all of Canada, and every state in the United States.
Wow.
And we're on every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So, and we always talk on a different issue. Tonight we just have health issues that affect citizens. What can they do to reduce dementia?
I don't have it.
To not heart disease. Just because you're old don't mean you have to have heart disease. Just because you're old don't mean you have to be diabetic or hypertension. Just because you're getting older, don't be overweight either. All these are
yeah.
And just because you don't mean, if say your legs are sore or pain, you still need to get up and move it. You can't afford not to. You have to exercise, or you have to walk. Even if they classes now where you can exercise from a chair. Even at home, you can exercise from a chair. You have to move yourself. Your life, your ability to move and not have all those falls that a lot of citizens have. They are
mm-hmm.
If you don't do anything about it, then there's nothing, you know. And you can't afford to sit there in loneliness. You need to be involved in the church or the senior center or some organization. If you know that loneliness, a lot of things, that helps. That makes you get out and do something. And it
yeah.
slows down the aging process.
You know, really bad stuff, and you know,
they
sleep. And a world order is under stress because of this
pandemic. I hear you.
Down, because the sound is coming in on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Background noise picked up.
Well, your radio information is very important.
Yeah, and this Wayne Carlton talking. He's with the veterans. He's a chairperson for the veterans, the NAACP, the local branch, and there is a local branch. It's called Pomona Valley Branch, and located in Pomona.
Now a 21-year-old man is on trial.
A lot of things. And before we're off the show, Selena's going to tell us a lot about some of the things, organizations she's involved with that may help those that are listening, or you may know someone that you can refer them to these organizations.
So we're going to
talk about health issues and seniors.
Well, if any veterans on the line and they need to file a claim, what they can do is call 1-800-827-1000 and tell your social security number if you're a veteran, and you can make a claim right there on the phone with the representative talking on the phone, and they will send you the paperwork back and everything else to help you if you're a veteran.
That's great. That's good information.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is start doing a lot of that. Because I've been helping a lot of homeless vets and they had nowhere to go and know how to get in touch with the hospital because they got a homeless number, too, that they'll go out and get a homeless vet and stuff like that. They do a lot of it because a lot of the vets, some of them will talk to and some of them won't. But there's a lot of them out there that don't even go after their benefits, and they have a lot of benefits.
That sounds great. And Selena, just listening on the vets. Selena, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to go ahead and give it, if anyone that's listening, get your pens and pencils and a piece of paper, and Selena's going to give you some information of the various nonprofits.
Okay, that'll be good.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about a few of the locals that are in your area. And the first one being Bright Prospect. Bright Prospect is located at 1460 East Hope Boulevard, suite number 74 in Pomona, California. Bright Prospect is designed to help low-income students and primarily help them get through college. If you'd like to take a look at what all Bright Prospect does, please go to their website at brightprospect.org. Also, their phone number is area code 909-623-9007. Again, that's Bright Prospect, located at 1460 East Holt Boulevard in Pomona, California. The next organization we'd like to talk about is called Helping Hands and Caring. And primarily what they do is help feed the homeless. And if you'd like to donate or volunteer, please feel free to give them a call at area code 909-730-5313. The next organization I'd like to say a few words about is called One.org. One.org, their primary focus is to stop the spread of HIV. And their number one plans of being able to do that is, number one, advocacy, understanding, and through disciplinary things and research and education. And as we well know, now they're able to do something with HIV even before a child is born.
Wow.
If you see what all they can do, please go to just one.org. The next organization I'd like to talk about is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp for military children with priority given to the wounded, disabled, or fallen military families. You can see what all Camp Corral is doing by going to www.campcorral.org. Also, you can call them, get information by calling area code 855-605-1267. Again, Camp Corral at area code 855-605-1267. The next organization, which right now it is Christmas, and they do a wonderful job seeing to it that other nonprofits receive gifts and toys, and also this is their primary function. The name of this organization is Santa Inc. Santa Inc. is located at 824 6th Street in San Bernardino. You can reach them by calling area code 909-885-0090. Again, the name of the organization is Santa Inc., and they're located in San Bernardino. You can call them at area code 909-885-0090. Then, moving onward, one of the another organization I always have to talk about is, of course, the one where I'm the director. We're the second largest food bank in Southern California. And the name of that organization is called Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway in La Vergne, California. What we do at Sowing Seeds for Life is a lot more than food, everything from clothes, shoes, education, and many, many other things that we do. Along with Mrs. Paulette is also one of the instructors there. She does healthcare consulting, informing the public and the people about same thing we talked about on the radio, healthcare concerns. If you would like to volunteer or you have a donation, please call area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. Again, this organization is called Sowing Seeds for Life, and they're located at 1350 Arrow Highway. The next organization always brings a smile to my face. You kind of have to laugh about it. This organization is located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California, and it's called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. This organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and they are there on the fourth Saturday of every month, and they really do some sort of unique things along with giving out food for the homeless. If you'd like to help them out or volunteer, please give Kathy Braxton a phone call by dialing area code 562-313-0041. And last but not least, an organization that is very dear to my heart is called VeteranCareSolutions.org. This organization is run by LaShonda Jones. Her intention is to make sure that any veteran or any person that has an organization that concerns veterans is informed on what you can do, what you can't do, and how to fill out RFPs to help veterans so that you can get those contracts and just a bucket load of information. And you can, again, reach LaShonda Jones by calling area code 909-329-8288. Again, the name of the organization is VeteranCareSolutions.org. At the end of every show, I take a moment to express my own opinion, in which that goes something like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues, and sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Guess what? I don't care. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work hard to be. I take risks and I use myself. I tell life stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and my mistakes. I use me as the guinea pig. I have a belief, and that basic belief is to help those that cannot help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. I thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I look forward to you being with us next week for our new hot topic. Have a great evening.
Thank you. This is American Health Crisis. I'm the host, Colette Young. We're on every Monday at 8 p.m. All you have to do is call 858-769-4936, and if you want to speak, press 1. You can also see all the broadcasts from the past up on my Facebook page called Healthcare Consultants. It'll be the page with the red and white heart. Then you'll know that's the correct page, but it has all past broadcasts. If you've missed any of the Mondays, all of them are put up on the Facebook page. So looking forward to hearing from you next Monday. Same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you.